Good morning. Happy Easter Monday. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You ever play that little mind game with yourself and imagine, you know, what if Jesus were here listening? Sometimes it's curiosity. Which side would he take? What hot take would Jesus have on this or that? What would he think of that sermon? And sometimes it becomes a check on ourselves. Well, if Jesus were here, would I still say that? Would I still act this way? But ultimately, this mind game hits a wall. It's actually probably the point. Jesus really is here. God is listening. There's nothing hidden from him. "Am I a God at hand?" says the Lord. "Not a God far away. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord. Why did we think that this was a game? But today, it's kind of a twist. We find out that Jesus plays this game, but for real. He initiates it today. He comes and he joins this conversation anonymously to see what will be said when his disciples aren't conscious that, of course, he is there. And unlike our games with these men going to Emmaus, there's none of that ambiguity of divine omniscience and omnipresence at play apart from the body and the presence of Jesus. Actually, that's a very important observation here in the wake of Easter. The Christ always and fully uses his divine powers and attributes as a man. He is never, dear Christians, omnipresent like most people think about God, which is to say, like Santa Claus, always watching, but you know, probably never really watching either, because it's a mind game. The risen Christ is bodily present today, with Mary at the tomb, with Cleopas as they're walking, with Simon in another appearance that we don't even hear about except secondhand, until finally he comes and he is with the disciples, passing through locked doors and yet still eating a piece of fish in the flesh. And thus, in order to play this game here with these disciples, Christ is the one who has to do the silly thing, take up the contrary to fact, as we do only in mind games. He must keep them from recognizing him for a time, not unlike how we suspend truth to imagine if he were with us. And the end of Jesus' games here today and the end of our mind games are the same, are they not? It is that our unbelief in him, our disbelief in him, is exposed. We find that we prefer a God who does not speak, so that we can put our own hot takes into his mouth. We discover that we do prefer a God who is far off and who only comes close at hand when it's time to observe those carefully curated portions of our life. We do prefer games to reality. We prefer the ethereal to the corporeal. And the problem with this sort of faith, dear friends, is that it is not faith worthy of the name. It is closer to doubt at its core. Perhaps it should be called doubt. It is entirely like faith in Santa Claus. If it works for you, if the stockings are getting filled, well, it pays for you to keep on believing even when you know better. It pays to act like you believe, at least, to keep this gravy train rolling. But if not, then you can be like my kids, I don't know where this came from, who are constantly going around ruining everyone's fun by telling them, that's not real. I suppose for some sense of moral superiority. Well, it's the season of Easter now. It is just like Christmas. This is the hour for both the cruel know-it-alls and the moralistic therapeutic deists to make themselves known, especially on TV. Whichever it is that calls more to your heart, I want you to see that both are on the path to deep sadness in the end. And both dispositions are exposed today by our Lord's playfulness. All hearts are singed when he causes hearts to burn. For behold, our Lord is present, and not only to listen quietly, but to speak. The things in Jerusalem over these past 3 days should never have been surprising. The cold, hard facts of the happenings are not incidental to the hopes that piety formerly held, and nor should they dash these hopes. This is the whole truth. The Christ suffered and was crucified and rose because he is the one to redeem Israel. Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe. And how to remedy this? Jesus opens his mouth and he expounds and he teaches and he translates and he explains to them the scriptures, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, the holy word of God. Because these are not idle tales of cookies and milk. nor are these sophistry of high-minded whataboutism. The words which Jesus spoke while he was in the flesh, in full accordance with the words that he spake by the prophets, these are what pull us out of all of our head games, all of our doubts, all of our struggles that should be kept to ourselves, into something far more certain, which is truly worthy of the name faith. Was it not necessary, he says. Again, he repeats this for a fourth time now after his resurrection. It is necessary that the Christ suffer and die and rise again for us. Thank God, the words of the prophets and the apostles which come to their point at Christ the cornerstone, these are no game. To them, Christ drives his disciples to grasp, to cling on to him as he did here at the Emmaus Road. When Jesus played his final game in today's gospel, see how he elicits now not more unbelief from these disciples, but urgent faith in him and in his promises. His words bring them away from cynical, contrary to facts, or empty imaginary thinking, or embittered sadness, bringing them into delight and even to boldness. Stay with us, Lord. You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Dear saints, not the ethereal, but the certain. Not the possible or the probable, but the necessary and the needful, which are yours in Christ Jesus. Not even just the vaguely present everywhere, like one who can be missed or one who can be recognized by you, but only after he's already passed on by. Jesus Christ is known also in the breaking of the bread. That's where the necessity of our Lord's exalted and majestic body really comes into full view for us. Dear disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, quit playing around and recognize your Lord fully present for your salvation in his truthful word and in his blessed sacrament, and be glad and be hopeful and be joyful. This is why, just as it was said today in this reading, in the very first Easter in today's scripture, our Easter acclamation, he is risen. It is not complete there, not without indeed, truly, bodily, necessarily, and therefore, blessedly. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.